is where you're at today, it starts to get a little bit scary, because at that very moment, that person is either right or it's wrong, right? That's the reality of it. Not to scare you or anything, but it's just the truth. It's just the truth. So prophecy concerns the future. Word of knowledge concerns the present. That's a very general description. I want to look at Nathanael. If you've got your Bibles with you, and it doesn't matter if you don't, but if you do, can you look up John 1, 47 to 51? And we've got that story there of what actually happened with Jesus and his disciples. So I'll read it out to you. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. We have found Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." That was a good answer. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, and he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." What a shift in attitude. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly," so then Jesus slips into prophecy, "most assuredly, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So you actually see somebody who's really quite skeptical. And I remember vaguely a message some time ago, somebody talked on, and somebody here probably knows about why they were scathing about anything good coming out of Nazareth, and I cannot remember for the life of me what it was said, but he had good reason. It was like, you know, well, can anything good come out of Nazareth? There was this old put down thing from being from Nazareth. And so he was scathing. He was really skeptical. But with Jesus saying what he said, it was enough to actually deal with that skepticism and open his heart right up. And what does the word of knowledge do? Here's a couple of things. It stimulates faith. So he goes, Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree." He said, "An Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." And he goes from lacking faith to, "You are the Son of God, you're the King of Israel." Just like that. So that's one of the things that a word of knowledge will do. It will stimulate faith in the person that hears it. The second thing, there's a heap of things, but there's another point, is that it is a breaker gift. And this is something else that Dan McCollum and Chris Valentin talk about with word of knowledge. It's a breaker gift, and it will open up a disbelieving or skeptical person to the realities of the Spirit. And, you know, we saw that with Nathanael. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then it broke the skepticism, it released faith, and it opened him up then to the prophetic word that Jesus had for him. Okay, that was the first point. That's what the word of knowledge does. Now, next thing I really, really want to emphasize here is that we see it operating. We see Jesus operating it in love. And so that's with the woman at the well in John 4, 15 to 19. I touched on it this morning. So do you think that Jesus already knew the state of this woman's life? He did. And even circumstantial, if you think about it, it was the middle of the day that she was out getting water from the well. That was not the normal time to be getting water from the well. In fact, in many of the Middle Eastern countries, you go and there's hardly anybody be seen in the middle of the day because it's so scorching hot. You know about the whole siesta thing in Italy and a lot of those countries. And so she was out in the middle of the day essentially because she didn't want to be seen. There was a lot of shame around her life, a lot of pain. But Jesus led her in gently. "Go call your husband and come here." And then you'll notice that he actually packaged what he had to say to her. He packaged it with kindness on both sides. He says, you've correctly said, "I have no husband." Tick. And then he says, "Because indeed, the man you're with," you know, I haven't got it actually right in front of me, "but the man you're with is not your husband. You have five husbands." And then he says, you have said this truly. So he actually packages it in kindness. He actually, he comes in gently with her and with love. Her response was, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. And she went back to her village and said, could this be the Messiah? She goes from, and I just love to think of this lady, how she went from the shame. So some versions bring out she went and she told all the men in her village. But she went from this place of complete shame and shutdown and not wanting to be seen to being an evangelist in her village within moments after an encounter with a word of knowledge with Messiah, obviously, but Messiah operating in word of knowledge. You know, that's powerful stuff to shift you from coming out when you're hoping no one will see you to actually going back and probably confronting and speaking to the very people that you thought potentially could stone you, or that's a big shift. That is a big shift. But he used it, and he used it gently and with love. Another quote from Dan McConnell, I just love. I just love some of the stuff he comes out with. It doesn't take prophetic insight to see the sin in a sinner. I just want that to hang for a minute. But it may take prophetic insight to see the treasure, especially if it's hidden under pain and shame. You know, I had one experience, and I touched on it during the weekend, and I just want to bring it up again as an example for you. Sometimes when you're talking to somebody and you're prophesying with somebody, you might say something that seems really odd to you, but it may be exactly the thing that unlocks the truth for them. And so the example that I used in the weekend at the school was of we had a man visiting from another nation staying with us, and he asked if we would pray for him, minister to him. And I began to pray for him, and as I began to pray for him, I started repeating myself. And I was a little bit embarrassed because the phrase I kept repeating was Swiss watch. So I actually found the word because I wrote it down because it ended up being quite dramatic for me. And this is what I said to him. I see things coming together for you right now like cogs in a Swiss watch. They'll run together as smoothly as a Swiss watch. Well, now I really know I'm repeating myself. I'm feeling a little bit embarrassed. The next thing comes out is God is putting plans together for you like a Swiss watch. And I'm going, if I was writing this down, if I'd written this down for this man, I would not have repeated myself all those times, but it just kept coming out about the Swiss watch thing. And then it went on to about how he was concerned about some stuff in the future, but that he needed to aim big, and that I actually saw this presidential award hanging on his wall, and that his ministry was just going to go international and this sort of thing. Well, he looked at me and then he started to laugh. He said, well, he said, I want you to know that, now let me get going, I currently have a couple living with me. He is a Swiss watchmaker. She's a Kiwi. They are putting together and organizing my ministry schedule, which involves multinational ministry organizations. And I wasn't sure whether I had done the right thing with getting them to work on my program and my protocol. And I also wasn't sure whether I was aiming too high with what I was wanting to do. Do you see what I mean? Like, if I had, I could have so easily not put Swiss watch in there. But that was the exact thing that just gave him faith to know that God was speaking to him, because he knew there was no way I knew that he had a guy that was a Swiss watchmaker that was actually sorting out his itinerary and his future plans. It was so cool. So I remembered that one because it was like, I'm going, I'm nuts here. And it was exactly what God wanted to use. So don't be fearful, you know. Sometimes a random word or phrase or picture will come into your head, and that's exactly the thing that's going to unlock that person. So, yeah. How to flow in the word of knowledge. First of all, how do we get the word of knowledge? The very first thing is desire. Want it, okay? That 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So it's an invitation to want it. I wouldn't be told to desire something if I wasn't allowed to have it. I wouldn't be told to desire something if I couldn't have it. Sometimes we just actually need to read the Bible and then think a little bit more. Well, that actually means. So I'm allowed to desire. He wants me to have it. And it's actually legal to desire something. Okay, that was the first thing. Desire it, want it. And then he wouldn't say to desire it if it wasn't available. So it's actually available for you. So I'm hoping that if you've never operated in word of knowledge tonight, there's just stirring a little bit of faith, because God's actually saying in the Bible, I've got this, I want you to have it, I want you to desire it, I want to give it to you. You can operate in this, okay? So the next step, number two, is ask the Lord to give you the gift. It's so basic, isn't it? Sometimes we got things here and we try to make it really complicated, and it's not. It's called childlike faith. Daddy, you got a jar of cookies? Can I have one? Yep. Childlike faith. That's what kids are like, you know? And we're encouraged to have childlike faith, not to be childish, but childlike faith. And that's that simple trusting that he's got something good for me and he'd love to give it to me. Okay. And then you receive the gift in faith, just like you received Jesus in faith. Just like you receive Holy Spirit in faith. You receive the gift in faith. Thank you, Lord, you're giving this to me now. And then, number four, if you were putting numbers down. Number four is you then exercise the gift as a demonstration of your faith. So tonight, that's what we're going to have a go at doing. But first we'll pray. We will pray for you. But then you receive it in faith. First, desire, okay? Ask, receive, and then step out. You know, like off the edge. It's cool. We can do this. Just a little note, often word of knowledge shows up first with healing. And that's just a little note. It flows in partners, as I said, with the prophetic. And the more you exercise it, just like the prophetic, the more it will grow. How do I know if it's right? Yeah, that's a bit of a question. How do you know if it's right? That's a bit of a trick question, really. If you speak the words out and use what you've been shown, you'll find out whether it was right or not. I remember stepping out, one of the first times I stepped out, and just the joy. I mean, I was in Zimbabwe and a whole heap of people responded to the words of knowledge that I had. And I was stunned. Each one of them was healed instantly. I was just stunned and shocked as anybody, really, or more than perhaps anybody. And at that moment, I felt Holy Spirit say to me, you would never experience the joy you're experiencing now if you hadn't opened your mouth. And I thought, yep, it's not rocket science, but it's actually the truth, you know. You just won't experience the joy of getting it right unless you have a go. And it's just so wonderful when you step out and find, man, God, you come through. Bill Johnson says, the worst thing that can happen is nothing. Sometimes it's really good to think about the worst thing and then kind of look at it in your mind with, okay, nothing happens right now. Can I cope with that? On the other hand, he says, you could experience a miracle. You could see a miracle right before you. So, that's good. So, desire, believe the gift's available for you, ask the Lord for the gift, receive it in faith, and then exercise it, have a go. The next thing, practice discreetly. This is a really practical, I'm trying to give you some real practical tools here. Chris Vallotton talks about practicing in a restaurant or a public place, asking God for words of knowledge, and then, you know, for a person there, like really discreetly, you're not like kalamashundering and praying and making a big fuss. You're just sitting there quietly having your meal and asking God for words of knowledge for the person that's serving you or whatever. And then discreetly, as a normal conversation, so for instance, just say, okay, Lord, how many kids are they? Have they got children? Yep. How many children have they got? Okay, I think they've got two children. a boy and a girl. What are their ages? Da, da, da. Okay, and then next time they serve you, and then they come round again, test it out. Don't be all weird and wonky. Just go, hi, you know. And da, 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 I've got kids. Do you have kids? Yeah. Oh, yeah, how many do you have? Two. Ah, yeah, boy, girl. Da, da. And you just actually interview them in the most casual way you possibly can, and then you can see whether you got it right or not. It's just discreet, but you're learning. And, it's, you know, so think of ways that you can actually do that and test yourself. And I'm sure Lynn's probably got a multiple, and Colleen, multiple ideas and examples of that, but I quite liked that one. Just something, casual conversation. Another thing at church is practice, and just to be in the worship or whatever. Lord, is there anyone around me that needs healing? And then if you get a sense that somebody does, okay, you might not have the opportunity to pray from there and then, but maybe after the service or whatever, you could say, hey, how are you? You know, got any issues with this at the moment or whatever? And just actually find out. I remember one of our early pastors, he used to say about not prophesying all the time, but listen and hear the other prophetic words that would come out and see whether what you got, or you know, like you'd be sensing something in the spirit, see whether it matched with what actually came out. Because it actually encourages you. Sometimes not doing anything other than hearing from God is still actual growth, because you get to check, that's cool, I got that. That's what I got too. It's not a waste of your gift. You're actually growing in confidence and learning that you're getting it right. And every time you get it right, you get a bit more confidence that, okay. Yes, just another quote. With the exception of personal and private tongues, the exercise of spiritual gifts requires public risk. Just to comfort you. It does require risk. Let's look at some of the signs. And Colleen, as I said the other day, you were the person that actually taught me this first off, was the whole thing about sympathetic pain. Well, actually, I don't know that you talk about sympathetic pain. What Colleen said was about just imagining a human body and going through and seeing whether the Holy Spirit highlights something like about their head or their shoulder or their left hip. And so you're imagining them standing in front of you, and you're just sort of like scanning through and seeing if the Holy Spirit highlights a certain part of their body to you that actually would then require, might need healing or something. So that was one thing Colleen said. Another thing that we can sometimes get is sympathetic pain. And Dano told a story of being at a big conference with, a lot of people, and the pastor's wife said that she needed to go home because she had terrible kidney pain. And he said, he happened to think for a minute, and he said, have you ever had kidney problem before? And she said, no. And he said, okay, let's just interrupt the flow of things here. And so he stopped. I'm not sure who it was preaching, whether it was a husband or whatever, but he actually asked permission to stop and got it to come up and to bring it as a word of knowledge. Is there anybody here with kidney pain or severe kidney pain? 14 people responded. One person had two tumours on their kidneys. They were all instantly healed. Sympathetic pain. Sometimes you will feel something in your body and it's not actually yours at all. I had an experience and it was so weird for me because I wasn't even operating this stuff. Well, I didn't think I was. And I was at a family camp and suddenly my thumb was dislocated. I wasn't lifting anything. I wasn't doing anything. Suddenly my thumb was dislocated. Like literally, didn't just feel dislocated. It was out of joint. And it was hurt like anything. And I'm at this camp, I'm supposed to be serving, I couldn't lift anything with my left hand, it was just awful. And I prayed for healing, and lots of times I'd prayed for healing for myself and received healing. And I prayed for healing for the thing, and it was still as bad as ever, and I tried to push it back into joint, hit it back into joint, and anything to get it right, and nothing was going on, and I had not done anything. And after, it was like a few hours, it went by, and one of our team came up, and this is the word that she said to me. She said, would you please pray for me? I'm here, there's like nothing really wrong going on in my life at the moment, but I feel totally disjointed from everybody in this place. And at that point, I thought, That's odd because my thumb's disjointed. Anyway, I still didn't make the link. So I prayed for her, and we just prayed through a few things and just broke off some stuff that was around her life and just causing her not able to connect with people and feeling really dislocated from everybody. Do you know what? I finished praying for her and then realized, went straight back into joint again. Just nuts, eh? But sympathetic pain. So sometimes you will feel pain in your body that's actually not yours at all. It's actually the person next to you or around you or something. And take it really, really rise up in faith at that point because God is showing you because he intends to heal them. And that's one of the things I love about Word of Knowledge is that, you know, God's shown you because they're going to get healed. And so you can jump higher, you can stretch further knowing that, okay, now's the time for this. And I love that. Okay, so that's one thing. Sympathetic pain. Another sign can be gut feelings. Jesus moved with compassion. That root Greek word there is gut and intestines. So he moved, he had this feeling on the inside that stirred him to move. And sometimes you just know. And we get more and more confident by pushing in and acting with what we're sensing. The third way is that we get thoughts or impressions. Just this feeling that there's something going on there. And, you know, you really will never know whether you're sensing or feeling it right unless you ask, unless you say something. Words of knowledge can come as stationary or moving pictures. So pictures in your mind. And sometimes people will see it almost like, so I've seen one time when it was like a cartoon picture, cartoon figures. Other times it can be like a movie or just sometimes it may be just a quick flash of something that you'll see in your mind. So it's not like before your eyes might be shut and you just see this picture in your mind like you've just looked at a postcard of something and it'll just be there. Sometimes you can have a dream or a vision. I've had cases where I've dreamt of something or somebody being healed or being sick or whatever and then found out that that's the case. And I've just gives me that extra level of faith to pray for them. I've heard, I've not experienced it myself, but I've heard that some people will actually read the words. The words will actually go across a person's face or head or something like that. And they read the word, you know, like I'm looking at Vicky and the word migraine will just go right across like it's just being typed across her forehead. So some people, it's as easy as that, they just read the word. That sounds cool to me. And some people hear it audibly. So they actually hear it with their ears. They hear the word and they know what to do. So, yep. I know that some people, and I've experienced it myself, will feel like their hands will start to tremble or they'll feel a weight in their hand, like they're holding something. I've experienced where I felt it's weird. It's a weird thing, and I came home from a conference and I said to Wes about it. It felt like I was holding a hot ball of cotton wool in my hand. That is the closest thing. So it's light as anything, but very, very distinct. Like I would have sworn that I had cotton wool in my hand and it was hot. And when I placed that hand on people, they were instantly healed. And so when I've experienced that since, I've been thinking, okay, there's someone around here that needs healing. What are you doing, God? And then that makes me push into which part, who, and that sort of thing. So sometimes you get physical sensations like that. All right. I just want to ask, actually, if you don't mind, Colleen and Lynn and Vicky and Nawa and Wes, do you think we could all just stand up for me and we'll stretch our hands out to everybody and just pray for God to impart them with the gift of the Word of Knowledge. Is that okay? Cool. Thank you. And everybody there, okay, who is desiring to flow in Word of Knowledge? Okay, that's why you're here, I think. And you may already flow. Who wants an increase in accuracy in Word of Knowledge? And there's the rest of it. I think that's got us all covered, apart from anyone else that's like freaking out, thinking, oh, I don't know what I'm even here for. So we are going to, we understand that we're told to desire. You'll need to stand up. I think you just need to stand up. Desire to move in the gifts, desire the word of knowledge. And as we reach out and we just pray for you and we'll just impart that gift of the word of knowledge just here, just receive it by faith. If you're here because you want an increase of accuracy, then say, Lord, I receive like a tune-up. I receive that accuracy and that sharpness right now, right now, right now.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're trusting you that there would be an impartation. And as we stretch our hands out to your sons and your daughters tonight, Lord, I thank you that there's desire, there's teaching, there's knowledge, and there's the Spirit of God. Lord, you've put it all together. So we would impart a fresh depth of knowledge. That gift that was described in Corinthians where some have knowledge, Lord, and we take that tonight and we believe you, Lord, and say more, Lord. Wherever each one of us are at tonight, we reach out and we say more. And as we stand here, Lord, we would impart that anointing that there would be words of knowledge in different ways in this room and accompanying that, Lord, the ongoing prophetic words, healing, deliverance, all the things that come as your knowledge is given from heaven to your children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Father. Sharpen, increase. Thank you, Lord. Increase. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit in each of these, your sons and your daughters. And we bless them with the courage right now to release what they have already received of the gifts, to release the words of knowledge within them, release what you've already imparted. And we bless them with a freedom to do that. Again, courage, Lord. Let courage arise tonight. And we release them now in Jesus' name.
Father, you say clearly in your word to ask and it shall be given. So, Father, we ask right now, Father God, for just such a release, Father God, of the gift of knowledge, Father God. Lord, that you would just impart afresh right now. Father, I just loose, Father God, over these people, Father God, just a fresh impartation right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
So just one more small point, maybe that we will just mention tonight. What happens if nothing happens? Nothing. It doesn't matter. You've stepped out. You've obeyed. And actually, you're not wrong necessarily if nobody responds. Because sometimes people won't. Because they don't think that it's them. They're embarrassed. They're insecure. So all that our job is, as we deliver a word of knowledge, is to deliver it. And the results and the outworking of that is actually up to the individual people and God moving on them. And so if nobody responds, it's okay, you're off the hook, you haven't done anything wrong, you haven't made a mistake necessarily. Maybe someone just is not in a place where they're going to respond.
Just very quick,
One of the things I shared at the school this weekend is understanding the operational modes of any gift you receive from God. There's four operational modes. First is gift on. When God gives you a gift, it comes turned on. And sometimes that will come with a big flow of revelation and lots of information. Sometimes it'll come in a trickle. But it's up to you to steward what you get, whether it's a lot or a little, steward it. The next mode of operation is training mode. Sometimes God will give you information and revelation simply to train you in understanding of how your gift functions. And it will not necessarily have an assignment attached to it. Does that make sense? And another mode in that is relational mode. Sometimes God will tell you stuff just because he wants to show you how much he loves people. And it's a brother telling a brother, hey, you know my friend Michael? This happened for him this week, and I just wanted you to know because I'm so proud of him, or whatever. You know, that whole relational mode. And the last one is assignment attached. Some of what God shows you will have an assignment attached, either a prayer assignment, a going assignment, something like that. But those four things are really, really good to know, because otherwise you can tend to think, oh my goodness, I'm getting all this information all the time, especially if the flow is really strong, and I've got to act on every single little bit of it, and you get driven by your gift instead of stewarding your gift.
So good. Wes, could you share with us how you operated this morning and what it felt like for you?
I've generally found that it's up to me to desire. I basically need to make up my mind that I made a couple of quick little notes, and I don't want to be long. So fundamentally, it starts with an attitude. The attitude is, Lord, I just want to bless people. I want to bless somebody, and for an opportunity for you to reveal your heart to them. So it starts with attitude. Then it goes to deciding to ask.